You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
If you're not a male from the ages of 25 to 35, you may not be as interested in my next guest's products as if you were in that demographic. But if you're an entrepreneur looking to learn how to build a fast growth company, you will certainly want to. Jim Riley, CEO of Intersect Beverage, is with me today because his firm was recognized as a fast-growing private company, and Jim was a 2011 nominee for the Orange County Business Journal Excellence in Entrepreneurship Award. I've asked Jim to be my featured guest today in order for you, my listening audience, to see if you can adapt any of the keys, or should I say secrets, that he and his partner are using to not only build a fast-growing company, but also an award-winning national tequila brand. Welcome to today's episode of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. I host this business talk show, which airs live on Tuesday and Wednesday afternoons at 4 p.m. If you're listening to this show as a podcast, I would encourage you to listen live during one of our broadcast times here on octalkradio.net. And if you are listening live, find the community chat room section of their website, log on. My producer, Paul, we'll be checking your thoughts and bringing them to my attention, and possibly I'll work them into my interview with Jim Riley. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome Jim to Critical Mass, the radio show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. Let's get started by, Jim, would you talk to our audience about your professional experience? I know that you are an expert, an executive in the beverage industry, and give us a sense for your background and experience that predates when you and your partner started Intersect Beverage.
Sure, Rick, and I appreciate the introduction you gave me there. It's a pleasure to be on the show and especially to be a part of the Orange County Business Network. In reference to that background, really most of my working background has been in Orange County. Way back in the early 80s, I was a part of a restaurant group called a little place called In-N-Out Burger.
Where my Love that.
Everybody's a fan, right?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Great products.
My brother's currently the operating president and trustee of the company. Had a great career there, but launched me into many different arenas, such as a place called Sierra Tahoe Ski Resort up in South Lake Tahoe. And then about 9 years ago, back here to Orange County with the Nolet family that owns and had previously ran Kettle One Vodka here in the United States and served as the North American headquarters for their Dutch operation.
That must have been a great ride at both companies, because both companies successful, growing, a lot of energy, I'm sure, great cultures, good experience, and good preparation for you and your partner to launch your own beverage firm.
Well, I think the things that you learn along the way, especially in quality firms, you know, when you look at an In-N-Out Burger, for example, and the impact that they've made not only on Orange County but on Southern and Northern California in general. The reputation known as being quality, great service, clean environment, you know, all the things that we expect when we go into a place like that. When you spend any amount of time in their training programs or companies that have training programs similar to that, those are the things that stick with you in life and you carry them on through your work history and hope that someday you can apply them to your own business. And it's one of the things that we've done here. We pride ourselves on our authenticity and the quality of the product that we produce right now. So In-N-Out certainly served as a foundation or a building block for what we're doing today, absolutely.
Well, my son is going to UCI. He graduates this spring, a couple months, and he works at Trader Joe's as a part-time job and has worked there for a while, and I'm so thankful that he had the opportunity to work for a good company, to know what working for a good employer is, because they're an outstanding, in my opinion, watching it and being a client, they're an outstanding place to shop, and they treat their employees really well. It's good to learn at a young age what it's like to work in a good culture for a good employer.
Yeah, it sure is, and that's certainly a place that we would aspire to do business with, you know, Trader Joe's and their reputation of what you're talking about, you know, the value and the quality of their employees. They're certainly setting standards in that industry that, you know, many of us would be proud to be partner with them. So I'm glad your son landed at a good spot, that's for sure.
So tell me about Intersect Beverage. I know that you and your partner found the firm, and I'm excited to talk about the products, tequila, and your marketing strategies, and other things. But let's start by looking at the firm itself. And could you share with us how you've built it and how it's different maybe than other firms in your space?
Well, it's a good question. I think we all have visions of a dream and what we might aspire to do or be one day. And I was actually at the Sundance Film Festival where I was with the marketing partner. His name was Matt Heller. And we talked about doing a business that would intersect the things that we did well. And at the time, we were bouncing in and out of the spirit industry with Kettle One, as well as a lot of celebrity type activities. And we thought, wow, wouldn't it be great to have a business that intersected all these things that we did on a daily basis, utilizing those types of resources? So the vision was to have a company that did just that, but really a specialized company in the beverage industry. And it was through just a random set of circumstances that I was introduced to the family that produces our tequila down in Mexico, and even a better set of circumstances that allowed me to become official partners with them on a financial level. And that's really kind of where the foundation of Intersect came from, was really just this vision of taking our resources that we had available to us at the time and putting them together into one thought, one business plan, and launching into a market that we're in today.
You know, that's what I find so fascinating about your business. Your business is a relatively new legal entity, but the family that you've partnered with who you're bringing their product to the market here in the U.S. has been around for quite a number of years. So what a mix of old and new, and I wonder, from your perspective, what is that like to be in your chair and have those two kind of worlds coming together?
Well, I think it's an exciting opportunity to be sitting in my chair in an environment that we're in currently, where the consumer's looking for authenticity. And for me to go down to Mexico and partner with Sergio Zuniga, whose family's been in the tequila business for over 50 years, in the heart of Mexico, in the city of Amatitan, where tequila was really discovered and founded, for me to sit here and have that authenticity as a background for where our product comes from and be a genuine partner of his and bring people down to that distillery to see the living and breathing history behind what we're doing here, it doesn't happen very often. It wasn't created out of the blue. It's got that history. It's got the lives and the people behind the brand and the individual stories. And it's all centered around a town, that is hundreds of years old. You can walk into the Catholic Church that's been there for over 200 years and just really get the heartbeat of the town right there and what everybody's doing and the sense of pride to be involved. And I feel like we're the keeper of that pride up here in the U.S. I feel like everything we have to do up here, we need to show the pride of what we're getting from Mexico and the people down there. So it feels good to be sitting in this chair with some history behind me.
Yeah, it's not like your product is a creation of a marketing. You didn't create a person who looks like he's been in Mexico for generations and 50 years making tequila. To create this aura of something you actually discovered, and then are marrying that with your entrepreneurial mind and your market awareness and your industry expertise to launch a new product, but it isn't new in the classic sense of a new product. I just think that's great, Jim. Thanks for sharing.
Sure.
I wonder if I could ask, and maybe look a bit inward, question that we ask each of our guests, of all the things that you've learned, you and your business partner have learned, have you a guiding principle that you're using to move your company forward and grow your firm?
Well, we talk about, principles are in your terms, a guiding principle of what we use on a daily basis. And, I think it's a conglomerate of ideas and thoughts. But really, for me, it's about enjoying what we do and working with people that enjoy what they do, and working together as true partners and finding how we can help one another out in what we consider a very crowded market space, a very tough economy to be growing a business, especially a startup business, and working with one another to be successful. And not just for ourselves, but oftentimes that would involve the success of somebody else and or some of the charity organizations or things that we're involved with on a personal level. that might be considered the give back of the business.
You talk about a crowded space relative to the market that you've launched your brands into. I wonder, that makes me want to ask you, could you talk about your brands and where they're positioned relative to the tequila hierarchy and the segmentation of the market?
Sure. First and foremost, what you got to know about our business is that right now there's currently over 1,100 tequilas registered to be sold in the United States, and it's a growing number. When we launched our idea of Azunia Tequila and Intersect Beverage over 18 months ago, there was only 600 registered tequilas. So when you talk about the competition and what's going on out there, it really is a busy marketplace. It's very, very reminiscent of my days back at Kettle One. When we launched Kettle One Vodka, there was only a few major tequila vodkas in the market, and at one point there was over 200 top-shelf vodkas being sold around the nation. So it's a very competitive industry, especially with some of the larger players in the world being involved, companies like Diageo Spirits and Brown-Forman, and just these huge players that have all the leverage that you can muster up out in the business world.
So your two brands are positioned at the higher end, right?
Well, we launched Azunia Tequila to go after the top shelf brands, which we would consider Patron or Don Julio or Herradura. And our second brand, which we consider the brand of the Hito or of the city of Amatitan, is the brand named Rejonal, which if you looked at it in English, it would be called regional. And what we did is we maintained the integrity of that brand being an affordable product for people that are looking for something authentic of the value that they might see down in Mexico. So there are two different price points. We cater to two different audiences. The Rejonal speaks typically to the Hispanic audiences. There's so many Hispanics here in the United States, especially in our own backyard. We wanted to have something for them that they've seen before and they were used to having down in Mexico.
And that's another, you know, we just finished the census last year. Again, the Hispanic population continues to grow as a percentage of the larger U.S. population. And so to launch a brand that resonates with a large segment of the buying population is a very smart idea as an entrepreneur. And I give you a lot of credit for that. And so I know that in your industry, from talking with you to get prepared to be the host of the key things is access to the ultimate customer. And so strategic partnerships and channels of distribution. Earlier you talked about Trader Joe's as a future potential partner of yours, but I know that you have strategic relationships with companies like BevMo and others. Could you help our audience to understand what the strategic opportunity is working with companies like that and what that relationship means to your firm and to your brands?
Sure. And you know, one of the things to realize is you're starting a new business, you know, again, especially in times where it's a crowded market, to have some strategic alliances like BevMo and a High Time Wine Cellar in Costa Mesa, you know, those are retail accounts that were believers in our not only our brand, but our vision and the product that we put in the bottle and where we were going with it. And I think it's just so critical when you launch something that you've got some strategic alliances, that people that can get behind the brand and believe it. We've got places like Javier's in Newport Coast that has just been an outstanding partner for the brand building and growth, because as a consumer, when you're looking at brands that are on the shelf and you're looking to explore, you know, what's out there, and typically when you're having a spirit or a cocktail or a beer or wine, you're experimenting with what you may like, or you might be a little bit hesitant to experiment. So when you've got partners like High Times, where you've got an educated staff that can tell you about what you're drinking, the history and the story of the owner, or a place like Javier's where the bartenders can mix you up a cocktail that's been focused on your particular flavor profile, it's just the types of endorsements that give the brand some legs that you can build off of. So for us to have some strategic partners at launch, we felt it was critical. We know that our business is built through those partners. And I think the key is just don't forget who they are. And when they believe in your vision, think back, you know, as you grow and grow throughout the years, always think back about the people that believed in you in the beginning. Right now we're in 48 states, and we've got an incredible partner in a company that owns On the Border Mexican restaurant chains. And they believed in us enough to put us in 163 of their stores, 40 states nationwide, because they believed our story, they believed in the product. So, you know, again, looking at strategic partners, I think it's critical. I think it's important. I think you need to flesh them out. And once you have them, take care of them, foster them, and be their partners as well, not only in brand development, but, you know, in profitability. You know, there's enough to go around, and make sure that you don't forget about who took care of you in the beginning.
And you you made a good point as well, as don't forget your roots. Don't forget who brought you to the dance. And I think that's a very good lesson for entrepreneurs to heed and to take with them. Jim, we're going to take a real quick break to hear from Smart Business Magazine. And then I'd like to come back, and I've got a whole other series of questions I'd like to ask you this afternoon. Are you up for the conversation?
I'm up for it. I've got a whole list of answers for you, too.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to be right back with Intersect Beverage. But first, here's a message from Smart Business Magazine.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Welcome back to this installment of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. I have the pleasure of interviewing Jim Riley, CEO of Intersect Beverage. And Jim, before the break, we were talking about how important strategic partners are, especially when you have a distribution model where they kind of are your access to the marketplace. I've had other industry, beverage, food, CEOs on my show talking about how fast you have to show results when you get shelf space. I'm wondering if you could share with our audience, relative to tequila and the in your industry, the spirits, what is that pressure like on an entrepreneurial firm?
Well, shelf space in our industry, being the spirits industry, is a little bit different than traditional retail products. We have some heavy governing authorities about buying shelf space or how we actually get that shelf space. But I believe for us and people that are in the spirits industry, and even outside of it, when you've been given the shelf space for your brand, and again, going back to when you found somebody that believes in your brand enough to give you that shelf space, no matter how you got it, I think it needs to be supported. And again, not to forget about it, and take that shelf space and grow it, if you will. Bring the customers to it. Support those locations that have supported you in terms of if they have weekend events or if they have fundraisers or evening activities or any way that they like to grow their business, grow with them and support them in their growth and how they do things. We've had an incredible time at a place called El Toreo in Santa Ana. It's just a traditional little Hispanic market down there on First Street, and they've done an unbelievable job with our brands, and I think a lot of that has to do with their level of customer service, coupled with our support, our tasting models, our posters that we've gone in there and support them, are just really our presence and being a partner, not only in pricing strategies, but in discounts and in, you know, deliverables on time, on spec with people like that, and I think that's the key, is just be a good partner.
Changing subjects just a little bit, I wonder, you know, with your pedigree and the companies that you work for and et cetera, how did Kettle One and prepare you to be out on your own as an entrepreneur?
Well, the experience that I learned at Kettle One, as opposed to some of my other industry experience, was really how to work in the corporate environment. You know, sometimes we talk about when we grow up what we want to do. You know, we want to wear a suit and tie and drive our Porsche to work. Well, you spend a little time in the corporate environment, you learn how to act and be one of the players, not only here in sunny California, but you learn how to do business on the East Coast and how people do business on the East Coast and how people do in business in the Midwest or in the South. And you become a well-rounded figure at a level that you're not typically exposed to at a small family operation that doesn't reach outside of the California borders. And it's one of the things that I took with me from Kettle One. Oftentimes people get into our business with a brand, they're excited about it, they've got a pile of money, and they want to launch their dream project of tequila or vodka or whatever it might be, but they don't have that big corporate experience and they don't know how to operate as a national brand or one of the big boys, if you will. And we were able to take our authentic small-town product and do business with some of these national accounts like On the Border, because we knew how to do business in the sense that they did. And what I specifically mean by that is having strategies in hand and having pricing that fit their demographics and know how to build models that meet national requirements. And those are the kind of things that you pull from a big company like Kettle One Vodka and working with other national companies. And you put that value into your small mom-and-pop business out here, and you're able to play amongst the stars, if you will.
Well, I know because you've mentioned it both here on Critical Mass, the radio show, and other interviews that you've given that I've had a chance to look at and learn from, how important the mixology and the culture is. And then you said on here on the show how important it is for the bartender to be able to kind of tell a story about your brand. That's really interesting to me, that you can personalize, if you will, your tequila. Would you just, if there's anything else in that vein that we haven't talked about yet here on the radio show, could you share any more with how that's been an important part of the strategy that you and Kirk have used to make your brand successful in the market?
Well, what we try to do is continually add value to our brands for our consumers and our customers, being two separate entities. Our customers being the nightclub, bar, restaurant, and the customer being their end user, of course. But by having a belief in the mixology community and what we call pre-prohibition cocktails, which is really the art of the cocktail, fresh ingredients, quality-based products like a tequila, a Azuña tequila, or something like Kettle One, where a mixologist can go in and identify what would be a driver for a bar or a restaurant to help them not only be profitable but offer something unique on their menu that a consumer might not normally experience. We've got an organic tequila, the Azuña Blanco, which we don't push real hard on the organic side of it, but we're adding something different to the mix. We've got an agave nectar that's made from the base of the agave plant. It's a natural sweetener, and we make an incredible fresh lime agave margarita, which is low in calorie and it's sweet and it's got a great flavor to it. But these are the kinds of cocktails that mixologists come up with. We had the chance to work with a gentleman by the name of Jaron Singh, and Jaron is the mixologist at the Stonehill Tavern in the St. Regis Monarch Beach, and he works for an incredible employer, Michael Mina, who has kind of been the cutting edge of this mixology community and what's going on out there nationwide. And we hooked into him to learn a little bit more about what value we can add to our marketplace and our customers. And it's worked out tremendously. We've added new drinks to menus, not only in California, but across the nation. So, you know, when you find a niche or something that fits, don't be afraid to utilize it and apply it to your business model. And to us, mixology was one of those.
I'm going to paraphrase what you said, so I apologize if I misquote you, but I'm saying I'm paraphrasing it because I don't have the exact quote. But one of the things I read that you said was that your passion and your respect for your brand and for your company actually, and I think this is a good lesson for other entrepreneurs in early stage companies, and maybe you can share it back, your experience, that passion and respect for your brand and your company, you saw have an impact on people around you to create some reciprocal feeling about both your brand and your company. Hopefully I didn't misquote you too far, Jim, but could you share a little bit about that?
Well, I think when anybody's passionate about what they're doing, especially in a new business, it's infectious, and other people want to be a part of it. And we've had the opportunity to have some amazing partners, both pre and current days with Intersect Beverage. You know, people like Wing Lam from Wahoo's Fish Tacos and Eric Morley, who owns Blue Sea Marketing here in Orange County, and even some of the big guys, like General Tire out of North Carolina. These people, you know, you have a chance to meet them out in the marketplace, whether it's through an event or through doing business with them, and your passion is infectious to them, and in return they want to be a part of that. And I think when you're passionate about something, people gravitate towards that passion. And for me, it's about retelling that story every day so that we can continue to be excited and passionate about what we're doing, not only for myself but for my team and as well as the people that we do business with. You know, things come and go so quickly nowadays with the Internet and technology. We want to remain top of mind, and we want our story to remain top of mind. And we have a great story, and it's easy for us to be passionate about it.
All right. Well, Jim, we're going to break, and then we're going to come back. I've got a few more questions, and I'm sure you have a few more answers, so you can stay with us for a little longer.
Thanks.
All right. Jim Riley, CEO of Intersect Beverage, will be back right after this short commercial break.
Large companies with complex sales channels have sophisticated lead management needs. They require customized lead management systems and services and integration with additional systems. That's why, since 1981, these companies have relied on SmartLead by AdTrack, the only full-service lead management company with customized systems for lead management, Salesforce automation, and analytics. These systems are managed by each client's dedicated account manager and are integrated with SmartLead's in-house marketing services that include a contact center, email marketing services, print services, direct mail and fulfillment, and an ISO-certified warehouse. SmartLead by AdTrack. 3 decades of pioneering lead management best practices and systems for complex lead management needs. For more information, visit our website at smartlead.com.
Welcome back. Okay, so I stepped on the outro. Sorry about that. Welcome back to Critical Mass, the radio show. This is your host, Rick Franzi. I have the great pleasure of having Jim Riley, CEO of Intersect Beverage, here, and we're talking about keys to a fast growth company and an award-winning national brand of tequila. Can I ask you, when you won the awards recently, or last year, I guess, how did that affect your marketing positioning of your brand, and how are you able to capitalize on that?
Well, you know, when I was at Kettle One Vodka, we watched the other competitors win some awards throughout the years, and we watched how they built a marketing campaign around those brands, some of them lasting as long as 10 years for one award. It was exciting to win some awards. It was exciting to have a product that we developed from scratch, the Azuñia Tequila Blanco, and win a gold medal by one of the toughest tasting panels that have been put together for the Spirit of Mexico's, as well as the Rejanel products. We won a best in category on the Blanco and a gold for that. So, you know, how do you take something like that and capitalize it? I think what you do is you get on your social media networks and every other marketing channel you can, and you tell the world about your success, and you keep telling them until they try it. And, you know, we're thrilled about it. It means as much to us up here in the U.S. as it does to the distillery and the team of people that make the product in Mexico. But I think it's a story that can be told over and over again, because you've received an accolade for something that you've done, for a product that you've put out in the marketplace. I think it's important to tell that story to your consumers and your buyers and people that represent your brand. So it's been about 4 months now since we received those awards, and we'll continue to tell that story as long as somebody will listen to us. We've got a lot of printed materials about it. We spent a lot of time on Facebook and Twitter talking about it, and certainly our sales guys have focused their tactics around those awards and what that means to the public.
Well, you know, Jim, I think that was great advice as well, because sometimes I think companies tire of hearing themselves talk about something that's a differentiator for them before the marketplace tires of hearing it, because there's always a fresh new face or ear or person to be receiving that marketing information. And your example of maybe in the vodka space where someone was leveraging it for 10 years, you know, that's I think that's a key lesson to be learned here on Critical Mass, the radio show. So thanks for sharing it. I have a question that came from Twitter, and I'm going to ask it, and hopefully you can explain it. How close to the distilling process are you and your partner and the U.S. Entity, your firm?
And that's a great question, and whoever asked it, I appreciate them asking that. We helped formulate the original Azuñia tequila line, the Blanco, the Reposado, and the Añejo, and we were there live in person while we bottled our first shipments to the U.S. The regional tequila is something that's been produced in Mexico since 1974, and that's where we talked about the history of that. And that is overseen by the Hito, or the conglomerate of families that helped produce that. So you've got two scenarios going on there. However, I have what we call a distillery liaison here, and his name's Alex Baca. And Alex is typically sent down to the distillery at the time of processing, or at minimal prior to bottling the product and shipping it up. You know, we believe that the consistency is very important to us, and you are talking about a product much like a wine where it can be it could be a small variation of the year before, but we do take every possible measure to ensure the consistency of it, as well as my partners down there, my third partner, Sean Fagan, who's part of the Zuniga Partida family. He's a full-time Mexican citizen, and he's down in Mexico about 80% of his time. So there is a lot of controls, and there's a lot of hands on the tequila that's being produced.
Oh, I was unaware of your third partner. I apologize for that, but thanks for bringing his name to the radio show and helping me to understand and answering the question from the audience.
Well, we want to keep bleeding out information to you to drag it out, right, Rick?
I wonder if you could share with our audience a current challenge that you're facing and what you're doing about it to, you know, mitigate the challenge and kind of control it and keep it from affecting the business in any significant way.
Well, I think originally how that question was posed on paper to me was a painful lesson, and you know, that's actually the timing on that is perfect, because we are in the middle of our lesson, and I think many small companies are faced with this. There comes a point where you need to decide, am I going to be a small or a large company? And with the national accounts that we've managed to secure nationwide, the BevMos and the Total Wine and Spirits and some others that we've picked up along the way, we're going to kick off a relationship with Bonefish Grill in Florida and the southern states here in May. The challenge is, and I'm sure so many of your small businesses will relate, is growing that rapidly in that many states. You know, things become more strategic in a cash flow basis, as well as how do we service that many states? How do we market to that many states? So really the painful lesson is be careful what you wish for, because you might just have it, and then you need to grow accordingly. And I think so many small businesses are faced with that question: is do I want to grow up yet, or do I have a little bit more learning and growing to do right where I'm at today?
Yes, in some of our peer groups and the coaching work that we do with clients, we refer to that as the business Bermuda triangle. To make that decision, because some people go into it without a strong navigation and they actually lose some of the value that created the brand to the point, or the company to the point that got them to that. You know, if you're not clear, and that decision can really cause a lot of harm to your business if you don't know. But it sounds like clearly you and your partner have visions of making Azuñia and your other products national recognized products. Is that true? You want to be a national product? And
it is true. I've spent a lot of time on the East Coast. When I was with Kettle One, we spent a lot of time in New York and Florida. And they're exciting markets to be in. You look at the top 10 tequila markets, and they include New York and Florida and Texas and Chicago and Boston. And they're places that we want to be. They're places that we aspired to be in during the business plan writing. But you never know, and you never think about the places in between. And that's where some of these national accounts will take you. But, you know, the key to us is servicing those accounts one by one and ensuring that we are a genuine partner of theirs. And one of the things that we've done recently with On the Border is we've reached out to every general manager of each store and thanked them for their business, thanked them for the support, and asked them if there was anything we can do to help build our brand in each of their stores. Now, that's 163 general managers in 40 states. And we got a response from every single one of them. And what we saw consistently was, thank you for the call. Nobody's taken the time to call us, because typically those deals are done at a corporate level. And it just reminded us we were on the right track with our business.
Wow, I got goosebumps. I swear to God I did, because, you know, one of those people, ladies or gentlemen, could end up someday somewhere. I mean, just the fact that you did that speaks volumes about who you guys are as people, but also the seeds that you planted in that one gesture, genuine, transparent gesture. Who knows in the future where that, you paying it forward, where that could come back to the...
Well, when we started growing the business, one of my goals was, and it quickly became out of control, was I wanted to go into every bar, restaurant, or location that sold my product and thank them personally for doing it. I don't think people realize sometimes as buyers what a significant gesture it is for them to purchase a product. Because I still remember the day that I walked into the factory that makes the glass bottles, and we designed a label around that glass bottle, and we came up with the vision on a dirty Saturday in a dusty road in Mexico, literally. You know, they don't understand all the work that went into that, and the fact that they purchased our product is such a compliment. I just felt so compelled to thank as many as I could, and I made it to probably the first 350 locations, and we're up to about 4,000 bars and restaurants nationwide that sell our product. And you know, maybe one day I'll bounce in there and say thank you, but that's really been my consistent message, is thanks for the support, thanks for believing in us and taking a chance on our product, because we believe in it and we've got an authentic story.
And that is that is really a key lesson for entrepreneurs to kind of take away from our talk today. I'm with Jim Riley, CEO, Intersect Beverage Partners. Early on, you've got to get people to be an early adopter, to take the risk, really, of somewhat maybe of an unproven product or an unproven company. And those people that make those early choices to believe in you really, in my mind, speak to more than just the moment. They are, for whatever reason, they're seeing something in you and in your brand that they want to help. Because they really are, in many ways, doing it to help your business. There's probably more risk sometimes than there is potential reward for some of those decisions that they've made. And the fact that you're so that do that, I think that's an important lesson for the audience to kind of pick up on here today, Jim.
Well, I appreciate you pointing that out. I think another component of that, you know, as a buyer, and I do this today because there's many products that we need to purchase to facilitate what we do and our partners that we need to facilitate. But, you know, sometimes your answers and your solutions to your goals, and if they're financial goals of, you know, selling more widgets or more hamburgers or whatever it might be, sometimes those answers are in a new startup company or somebody small that has a passion for a quality product and delivering something. And, you know, my constant message to some of these big corporate buyers is, what happened to good old-fashioned business where we can offer a quality product that's authentic at a good price where you and I can both make some money? And I will tell you that I've had more response from that, because people find it refreshing in a day and age where there's so many different angles to buy your way into an account. When somebody walks in and says, look, this is who we are, this is what we stand for, and this is what we have for sale, you and I can go both make money off of it. We've had a very favorable response. One of the majors that had a response to us was Station's Casino out in Las Vegas, who runs Red Rock and several other properties out there, Green Valley, and they gave us a chance on those guidelines alone.
Wow, I tell you. And I have to, in the spirit of full disclosure, I have to admit, several times during this time together with you, Jim, as you've described your product and the application for your product, I have begun to salivate. I have to admit it. It just sounds very enticing. So we're going to come back. I've got just a couple questions left for you, my friend. So hopefully you'll hang around for a couple more minutes on Critical Mass, the radio show, Jim Riley.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Welcome back to this installment of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am Rick Franzi, your host, and my guest today, Jim Riley, Intersect Beverage. We're talking about his fast growth company and building a national and award-winning brand of tequila. Welcome back to the show, Jim.
Thanks.
I wonder if you could share with us the impact that your sales here in the U.S. are having on the economy in Jalisco and New Mexico area.
Well, it's a good question. When I started down there, they had a very limited staff of 5 or 6 people, and I know when we were in full production, and we go in and out of full production based on our business up here, but we had seen as many as 22 workers. And, you know, when you talk about impact, you know, a lot of people like to use big numbers and, you know, how many dollars they're bringing to the financial community down there. What I can tell you is that our foreman to the distillery, we had the opportunity to help him buy a car. It's a $1,500 car. But to listen to him tell us the story of how that vehicle has given him the chance to drive 2 hours from Amatitan to see his mother on every Sunday and take his kids, to me, that's real impact. When I take a tour across the street at the Herradura facility and the tour guide pulls me aside and says, hey, I want to thank you for employing a couple people from our city that needed work. If there's anything I can do for you, let me know. To me, that's real impact. You know, we can talk about numbers all day long, but when you start touching lives down there and seeing the results of what you're doing, that's where the reward's at. I will be, in spirit of full disclosure, next to my desk, I have a picture of the daughter of the foreman of the distillery down there, because I realized that what I do with him and how we do business and what goes down there results in her life as well. So I try to use that as a reminder for myself every day.
Wow, that was a more powerful answer than if you would have thrown some numbers at me and some statistics. So thank you for making it much more personal than I had anticipated.
Sure.
I wonder if you could share with our audience how you see the opportunity for growth and where you and your partners plan to move the company in the future.
Well, as exciting as being in all the states that we're currently in, we realize that we need to remain focused and be a small company in each one of those states and do a really good job for them. So, you know, we see a slow growth, and we know that to start a business from the ground up is a difficult process, and we don't have any high expectations until we get through year 4 and 5. And it's interesting to listen to other entrepreneurs talk. They talk about that magic number of 5 years until you start making it. And I think we're going to be very, very patient for that 5-year mark. And we may rewrite our goals at that time and see where we really want to be. But realizing at the end of every day that it affects many more lives just than myself and my partner, we want to make sure we take everybody into consideration as we walk down that path. So, you know, the short answer is we're going to take our time.
Well, the short answer is the best answer, I guess. Okay. You have a racing team. Anybody that goes to your website, it's prominently featured there. And I'm wondering, from a market awareness, brands, marketing, positioning, how does that racing team support what you're doing to move your company forward?
Well, I know we're coming to the close of the show here, and I'm going to give your audience what I call two of my gems, G-E-M-S, in parentheses. What I looked for in off-road racing, it was a passion. I raced the Baja 1000 for, this will be my 6th year this year. It's an exciting sport. It's an exciting group of people. There's people out there like the Herps family, who owns a number of casinos and gas stations in Vegas, Mark Post, who's one of the owners of Javier's, Roger Norman, who owns Crystal Bay Casino, just an amazing group of people. But what I realized from a marketing aspect is, where can I market to a group of people, a large group of people, that are close-knit, consistent, loyal, and are longing to learn more about other businesses. And I found that in the off-road community. People are very surprised at the amount of wealth in the off-road community. And I'm not talking about the pickup truck driving down the freeway with 44-inch tires and he's got mud flaps the size of your windshield. I'm talking about an authentic group of people that are into adventure and racing races like the Baja 1000 or the best in the desert Vegas Torino race that happens every August. People that are passionate. And we reached out to them, and they've embraced our brand. And you talk about a community with over 100,000 people on a consistent basis talking about your brand and building loyalty there. It was a great start for us. And it's garnered us a lot of business, through that consistency.
Would you do it anyway if it didn't have that business potential behind it?
Well, I was doing it before, and I'm going to still do it, and I'll probably go broke doing it. It's something that I'm passionate about, and I would be remiss if I didn't say that kind of the foundation for our off-road efforts, and this is some of the work that I do with Wahoos and Wing Lamb and Blue Sea, is that we support Rancho Milagro, which is an orphanage down in Mexico, and every year we raise money to go down there and provide those kids with enough supplies to last several months. And this last November, we've provided supplies for 4 months, and we helped rebuild some of the compound there. And that's something that I'll always do. And for me, that's the real heart behind the racing activity in Mexico.
Again, thank you for taking it to a level that I hadn't expected you to take it to, and show the depth of what entrepreneurs are about, you know, paying it forward and giving it back. And also, it is great when you can take one of your lifelong passions and be able to help it help your business in a way that's true and authentic. And it sounds certainly, Jim, that off-road racing for you and your racing team brings together a lot of positive elements for your brand and for your business and for you personally. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, I've often said it's a community that's brought me everything good that's happened in my life. So we're going to continue to support it and do what we do down there.
Great. Is there anything else, your brands, you, the business, that I didn't think to ask you about here on Critical Mass, the radio show, that you would like to share with our audience today?
Well, I did say I'd share two gems. One of them was just the bulk of the support that you can get through an off-road racing community and the mass amount of followers. And, you know, there's brands like General Tires that have found that out quickly, and Creed Sunglasses, another Orange County company here. But the second gem that, you know, people should really focus on, and I hopefully not too many of my competitors listen, sorry about that, but what we found is that business isn't always where everybody's looking at. And what I mean by that is if you just take Newport Beach for an example, you've got a great community, a great set of restaurants. You know, you've got the Miracle Mile there, and it's just unbelievable to do business there, and there's a number of partners we have there. But, you know, if you took the time to go inland just a few miles and focus on a city like Santa Ana, or even go a little bit further like La Habra or, La Puente or some of the other areas inland, there's a lot of gems out there, and there's a lot of people that don't get any attention from what we call the big guys. And we've managed to be very, very successful off the beaten path, is what we like to call it. An even clearer example is we do some business in San Francisco, but there's a lot more to be had for us in cities like Sacramento and on up to Lake Tahoe. So I guess don't always follow everybody else, because there's a lot more apples on the tree.
That is great advice. Underserved markets. That is, I may want to have you back at some future point, Jim, if your schedule permits, and I know you're a busy executive, but to talk a little bit more about that, because I think that as we see the economy improving in many ways, looking for growth and recovery, that is a key topic to be discussed in a little more detail. So maybe if you're willing to and things schedule right, we can have you back as a future guest on Critical Mass, the radio show.
We'd love to talk to you guys in the future. It's exciting to be a part of something like this and to share our story. We appreciate the opportunity to do it.
So if someone wants to go online and find you and your business and your brands, how do they do that?
Well, because we're social media fanatics, Facebook works best for us. Go on the Azunia Tequila fan page or the regional tequila fan page, and you can send messages. I get most of them. The AzuniaTequila.com website has an info at Azunia, and you can certainly send me emails there. And we get to know each other a little bit better. We'll share text messages.
Fair enough. Well, thank you for taking the time and sharing what you know and feel here for our audience today on Critical Mass, the radio show. Jim Riley, CEO of Intersect Beverage, I really want to say thanks for being a friend of the radio show and kind of welcome to the Critical Mass for Business community.
My pleasure. Thanks, Rick.
Goodbye. Well, I hope you've enjoyed our radio show today and our focus on company. You know, as I mentioned in the open, Jim was a 2011 nominee for the Excellence in Entrepreneurship Award sponsored by Orange County Business Journal, also recognized as a fast-growing private company here in Orange County in 2010. And so to have him on the show and to have him for as long as we were able to have him on the show was quite a privilege for me, and I certainly enjoyed the conversation, and I hope that you, our listening audience of business owners and CEOs here in Orange County and across the world, found value in what Jim was able to share through the questions that we asked him today. So, this is Rick Franzi, host of Critical Mass, the radio show, saying, I hope that all your decisions moves your business in a positive direction, and we'll talk to you again on our next installment of Critical Mass, the radio show.
You've been listening to Critical Mass, only on OCTalkRadio.net.